Our scripture today is from the book of Matthew. Matthew, you can find in your pew Bible. It is the first book of the Gospels, first book of the New Testament, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Before we read this together, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this chance to read your word, for the word that you have given us to guide us, to lead us through this life. And we pray that our hearts, our minds are open to receive whatever it is that you have for us, that through it we may know you more. Lord, we thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the accountability that you give us. And we ask you, Lord, that every day we draw closer to you. We pray also for the sermon, that it too is used for your glory, that your mercy be upon it, and it glorifies you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. This is one of my very favorite stories of Jesus. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone. He was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That's a storm house. Oh, excuse me. Like I said, this is one of my favorite scripture. For a theme that runs not only throughout the scripture, but throughout all scripture, or a lot of scripture, from the Old Testament all the way to the very end of the New. But as we read this, it's important to get the context again. Now, we talked about the scripture last week that immediately precedes this. Do you remember last week's scripture? It was a miracle, feeding of the 5,000, right? Now, in order to appreciate that scripture, we needed to know the context of that one, which again is still pertinent to this scripture. Prior to the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had just found out what? That John the Baptist had been killed. And so in the midst of that, Jesus is sad and mourning. And so he wants to go out to a solitude place, a place of solitude, a place of quiet. So he hops in the boat, takes the boat to the other side of the lake where he thinks he'll be alone for a little bit with his thoughts and prayers. But the people heard where he was going and they figured it out and they walked on the land and they met Jesus there. Jesus, seeing the 5,000 plus people, in a place where he just wanted to be left alone and sad and mourning and praying, didn't shoo them away. He had compassion on them. He healed their sick and he fed them. Now, after they were fed, it was closing in on evening. My guess is probably, you know, if you think about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock or so, that's probably close. After they had done eating, it's about that time, the disciples went around collecting the basketfuls of food. And then Jesus said to them, "All right, we're done for today. You go away now. Get in the boat, go back over to the other side of the lake. I'll meet up with you. Which again, not unheard of. 5,000 people made that journey. And Jesus said, I'll take care of the people who are here. You get a head start. And so Jesus dismissed the crowds. Now, this word at the beginning of our scripture is one that pops up in our scripture again and again and again, three times, immediately. When they were done eating, immediately Jesus let them go. He made the disciples leave. He dismissed the crowds. There's a sense of urgency there. I want to be alone. The example that Jesus gives us in the Bible, especially as leaders, and we're all leaders in different ways, the example that Jesus gives us is difficult. You see, Jesus needed time for himself. We all need time for ourselves. Jesus needed to rest. His friend had died. He wanted to mourn him, to pray to God for the next steps, to do whatever he needed to do. But when you have something like Christ has to offer, and we all have that, people sometimes need that right away. And so Jesus took the time out of his own self-care, and he took care of them. But when Jesus was done, he took the time for himself. He dismissed everyone, made his disciples go away immediately because he needed his time. And when he was all alone, he went up on the mountainside by himself and he prayed. He rested. I like Jesus' example here because what it does, what it means, is that we all do things to relax, right? We all do things to rest, but not all those things are beneficial to us. We do things like watching TV. There's even a phrase for unhealthy TV. You know the phrase? Binge watching. Anyone ever binge watch? Oh, I've been watching. If for hours, the same show over and over and over and over and over again, and your butt's starting to tell you, we need to move, but you just don't. Eating to relax, not because you're hungry, but because of that chocolate pudding tastes so good and you just need something. Drinking. It's really nice after you mow the lawn to have a can of beer. But sometimes one tastes like two, sometimes two tastes like three, sometimes three tastes like a night out at the bar. All these things that we do in moderation can hurt us in excess, except for one: prayer. When we go alone before God, where we surrender ourselves in God's presence, where we talk, where we listen. One of the best things I did on my time away was learn again how to pray. And I am shameful to admit that I've lost some of that. Sometimes when life gets busy, we forget. We turn to the easy things, the things that we're used to, the TV, the chocolate, whatever it might be. But Jesus' example he gave to us in order to relax, to truly heal, to truly recover, is prayer. Later that night, he was there alone. Jesus, after he's done praying, it's nighttime now, he looks out over the lake, he sees the boat, the disciples are having problems, and it's buffeted by winds, by the waves, because the wind was against it. And shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So he saw them later that night having troubles, but he didn't go out to them. Why? Because Jesus wasn't ready. He needed to recoup. So what did Jesus do between later that night and shortly before dawn? Prayed. I heard someone mouth pray. Any ideas what he might have, what else he may have done? Sleep. Wouldn't you sleep? It's later that night. You had a long day. Your best friend died, or one of your good friends died. You spent hours praying before God. You see the disciples are having troubles, but you can't do anything about it for right now. Take a nap. Jesus may have slept. I don't know. He may have prayed the whole time too. But shortly before dawn, he thinks, okay, it's ready. I got to get going. Instead of walking on land, he decides to take a shortcut because, of course, Jesus. So he walks on the water, a little quicker way to where he's going. And as he passes by the boat, pre-dawn, it's still dark. You heard the saying, darkest before dawn. Pre-dawn, and the disciples have been up all night, or at least some of them, buffeted by the waves and by the wind. And Jesus comes out of nowhere. He's probably, 100 yards away, trying to pass the boat. And they cry out, "Ghost." I think that's acceptable. It would be a scary thing to see. So who walks on water? I mean, anyone here? No one here walks on water. Jesus walks on water. But they don't know that yet, so ghost seems about right. And they cry out in fear, it says, "Ah!" Or however it is it sounded at that time. And they're afraid. This is one of the parts that I love, because this isn't just unique to Christ. God does the same thing. They cry out in fear. It's a ghost. Maybe we're dead. Maybe the spirits are going to get us. You know, all this kinds of stuff. And Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I, and don't be afraid." How many of you have watched Fail Army? I bring this illustration up a lot on videos or pranks on YouTube or some such thing. Nobody? You should. They're funny, but they're awful. Don't do it. They celebrate people getting hurt. They celebrate people failing. They can be funny, but I always feel awful watching them. I do. You know, the skateboarder who's going for the insane trick and he doesn't do it, you know, that sort of thing. And we're like, ooh. I don't know why we laugh, because it's not us, I guess, and somebody else, or because we understand that kind of pain. I don't know where that joy comes from. But let me tell you, that joy is very, very human. I learned something I think it's kind of spectacular and awful. This past week, I was listening to an interview. They were interviewing this big brain at MIT, this guy. I wish I remembered his name. And he is at the forefront, him and a few others are at the forefront of AI development and research in the United States. Now, you know what AI is, right? Artificial intelligence. And AI actually doesn't really have a whole lot to do with robots. The most successful AI that they're developing, and also the, not successful, but the most common vehicle for the AI they're developing is software. All of you, 98% of you, have experienced AI. How many of you have been on social media? Any kind of social media. Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. I know I'm missing some, because I'm old. I don't know the other AI, the others. 4chan, is that one of them? WhatsApp, is that? I don't know. All that social media. YouTube is one of them too. Everything that shows a video to you or gives you things you think you want to see, there's an AI running that. And the AI is not only connected with the things it thinks you want to see, but it's also connected to the advertisements at the same time. How many of you have been bombarded by advertisements? Everybody. when you go online. Anyone remember YouTube prior to advertisements? Was amazing. But now there's advertisements. So the AI figured out something on its own. Figured out this. That people who are angry tend to buy more. Like that? What that means then is that when you're watching YouTube, when you're watching Facebook, when you're watching Instagram, when you're on Twitter, the videos, the tweets, the things that it tends to give you are gave to you purposely to make you upset. So if you leave AI if you leave social media or those things feeling like this world is going to hell in a handbasket, that's the AI wanting you to buy things on the advertisement that it's also showing you at the same time. Because the AI knows that humanity likes to be angry, or likes other people to be angry, or that we're driven by anger or upsetness. Fail army, we watch these things because people fail. We have this term for a person, a woman, who is not very nice. It's Karen. Karen videos, and I'm sorry for anyone named Karen, because all Karens I know are very, very, very nice. Karen videos, the things that get the most viral, the ones that go viral are the ones where the Karens are upstaged, where the person who's not very nice is proven wrong or treated poorly. Because there's something in us that feeds on this. And so when we read this scripture, it's very surprising to me that as Jesus was in the boat and he started to walk by and the disciples were scared, instead of laughing and chuckling at them and saying, this is funny, he cries out to them and he says, don't be afraid. Immediately, not waiting, immediately, don't be afraid, it's just me. And I love you. Peter, we love Peter. Peter says, Lord, truly, if it is you, let me come out on the water too, because, hey, that looks like fun. And Jesus says, sure, come on. Peter walks out to him on the water, and he's just, you know, enjoying himself, eyes focus on Jesus. But as soon as he recognizes the wind and the waves around him, again, this scripture, right here, he begins to sink. He doesn't immediately fall into the water. Any of you dive off a diving board into the water, you don't begin to sink in the water. You just go, but he begins to sink. His ankles go under, his shins go under, his knees go under, his hips go under. But it's all methodical. It's all slowly. Jesus could stand there and watch him as he goes below the waves and say to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, this is a good parental technique. I've done this to my own kids. I see them failing, and I ask them if they want my help. And when they say, no, let me reach it. It more goes like this. I see that they're doing something, but they're doing it wrong. And I ask them if they want my help, and they say no. And so I sit there and I watch them inevitably fail. And there's a sense of satisfaction. I'll be honest with you. I know the way. They don't. Shame on them for not taking my help. They deserve this. And then once they failed or have failed a lot or on the road to a catastrophic failure that they can't return from, whatever it might be, then I'll say, this is the way you should do it. Praise God, we got someone who loves us that is not like me or some other parents. Jesus, in seeing Peter start to sink, as Peter cried out, Lord, save me, immediately. First he saves him, then he reprimands him, then he teaches him. But immediately he reaches out to Peter, pulls him up, and says to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And when Jesus and Peter climbed into the boat, it doesn't use the word immediately, but it implies it. As soon as they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. There's so much immediacy happening here. Things that in our world, in our culture, and in our life, we wait for. For some earthly, worldly sense of gratification. But that's not the example Christ gives us. In fact, not only Christ, but as we look back in the Bible at any theophany, and I believe I got that word right, theophany is an encounter with God. When you read almost all the encounters of God, whether it be a divine angel or God himself, the people are always afraid and God always responds, "Do not be afraid." Immediately, not after the announcement, "Do not be afraid." You see, in our scripture today that we're reading, Peter is solidly walking on the water, but not because the water is Peter's some foundation, but because Jesus is Peter's foundation. And as soon as that foundation starts to slip, then Peter starts to sink. Jesus shores that up again immediately. But the world that we live in, we have so many different foundations we can build our lives on, but they all crumble. There is nothing of this world that we can count on to last forever. But that which is not of this world we can count on, and that is Christ and Christ alone, who gives us that foundation not later, not even soon, not after a while, but now, immediately, at this moment, where we can stand solidly. And then once we're solidly on the ground, Christ then teaches us, helps us to grow, admonishes us, rebukes us, loves us. This church, Trinity United Methodist, has the invitation every day to stand solidly on Christ. Everything else apart from Christ promises to slip away. Jesus alone helps us stand solid. Now, I will say this. Solid doesn't always mean familiar. Peter was standing solidly in an unfamiliar place, and he let the unfamiliar of it distract him. Christ leads us into some really different places, but still allows us to walk solidly in those unknowns. I pray that we accept the immediacy of Jesus Christ in our lives and walk where Christ calls us, though it may be unfamiliar. Because of Christ, it will be solid. I'll leave you with this final benediction. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Amen and amen. Go in peace.